It so happened that a Sunday that I was preaching on a text about family, my mother was here. And this morning, as I'm preaching on a text about someone getting scrutinized, if you notice, there's someone sitting in the back corner with a pen and a pad that you might recognize, who is here to scrutinize me. Now, you see, the advantage in this is if you are in desperate need of a nap, he's here specifically to observe me. So if you're in desperate need of a nap, you have a six-verse text and a pastoral prayer to see how much he wants for his notes. It's good to be back. It's good to be preaching the Word of God. Our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 14. We're picking up in our Dining with Jesus series. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord as I share it with you. One Sabbath, when Jesus was going to the house to eat, going to the house of a prominent Pharisee in order to eat, he was being carefully watched. And behold, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling in his body, from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him. He sent him away. Then he asked them, who of you, if you had a son or a daughter or an ox who fell into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. Please pray with me. Lord, in these moments, help us to hear about your mercy. For we're broken, and we're in need of your help. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, have you ever walked into a room where you knew you weren't welcomed? Have you ever walked into a situation where you knew people were watching you? You enter the door and you see people's eyes, and you just know they're thinking something. Perhaps it was during a family gathering with relatives that you don't exactly get along with. Or maybe it was at a company function where you're with coworkers that you don't exactly get along with. Or perhaps it was in high school that you just never were a part of the in crowd, and you remember the feeling walking past some people and seeing their looks. Most likely, you know the feeling. The apprehension of walking into the room knowing that all eyes would be on you and to see what you were doing. And then the tension rises when someone turns and says, so, what do you think about this? And you just feel your turn as everyone waits for the answer. If you know the feeling that I'm describing, then you know the situation that Jesus was walking into. The Pharisees and the lawyers in our verses want Jesus in what he will do. They want to trap him in what they believe are his sinful and radical ways. Yet even in this situation, Jesus shows us what his mission is, his heart is. He shows us his real reason for coming was to show us mercy in the midst of our broken condition. Like a good historian, Luke sets up the scene for us. He gives us some background. Jesus had been invited to the house of a prominent Pharisee in order to join them for a Sabbath feast. Now, this is actually the third time in Luke that Jesus has been invited to the house of a Pharisee to be there, not just to eat. And this is also the last time that it will occur in the Gospel of Luke. The first time Jesus came to the house of a Pharisee was the verses that Pastor Al preached on 2 weeks ago. The prostitute who comes in and washes Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears. The second occurrence, Jesus ate with the Pharisees, he also didn't do so well at trying to win friends and influence people. In this incident, which happens in chapter 11, Jesus gets into the dinner and he says to the Pharisees, "By the way, you are clean on the outside, but you are filthy on the inside." That goes over like a ton of bricks. And he does it for the lawyers that are there as well. This incident goes so well, Jesus, that Luke notes at the end of it that as he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. You know, at least the Pharisees couldn't say that it was boring whenever Jesus showed up for dinner. But here we are in chapter 14, and amazingly, after that incident, Jesus has another invitation to dinner. You might be tempted to think that after how the previous two invites, the Pharisees might not try for a third, but they do. Yet Luke notes something about Jesus showing up at this dinner. He's being carefully watched. The way that the verse, it's as if as soon as Jesus is crossing the threshold of the door, the eyes are on him. This is where the scene with walking in and the Pharisees looking starts to feel a bit more like a setup, because a man with illness shows up suddenly. It probably shouldn't surprise us that the Pharisees are watching closely. The man just happens to show up. The Pharisees have seen how Jesus Sabbath. Three times already in Luke's gospel, Jesus has healed on the Sabbath. In the first case, the Pharisees aren't even noted as being there. In the second case, he healed a man with a withered hand, and the Pharisees took note of what he did. In chapter 13, Jesus healed a crippled woman right in the middle of the synagogue. In this incident, the Pharisees try to refute Jesus right there on the spot. But Jesus turns the situation and embarrasses the Pharisees in front of the entire synagogue. It seems then that this dinner invitation might not just be a gracious, "Why don't you come have some food with us?" It seems like this sick man's presence there might not be a coincidence. The Pharisees are up to something. They want to see if Jesus will take the bait one more time. This time away from the crowds, away from the adoration, away from a situation where they could be embarrassed. And inviting him to dinner with other Pharisees and teachers of the law provided that opportunity away from the crowds. And they think they're ready for him. They think. They have the man with dropsy, as it was called, come to provide Jesus with the opportunity to heal once more on the Sabbath. The man is there as bait. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, what's dropsy? Now, of course, this is if you're not thinking, what's for lunch? If you'd asked me 5 days ago what dropsy was, I probably would have said, I think it's a kind of cold medicine, and I should probably run to CVS and pick it up, because I'm starting to get something. But this is actually a medical condition that we now call edema, and probably some of the medical folks recognize the term, but it's a condition where the body takes on fluid. And one of the odd things about edema or dropsy is that when the body takes on fluid, your hands and your arms and your feet and your legs start to swell, but you become more and more thirsty as the illness progresses. And so it's kind of this sick irony that as your body is filling with fluid, you feel more and more thirsty. But the more you drink, the more fluid you take on, and the more thirsty you become. In the Jewish circles, this condition was seen as the result of some sort of sexual offense that the person had committed. And it was certainly seen as judgment from God on that person. And in the greater Roman world, dropsy was seen as the consequence of greed. And if you think about it, it makes sense. The more and more you drink, the more and more you want to drink, but the more and more sick you become. And so dropsy became a symbol of greed. In any case, the appearance of dropsy in the man would be some sort of indication that he had done something deserving of judgment, the judgment of God. Yet despite allowing the man to come before Jesus, the Pharisees weren't ready for the switch that was about to take place. As you might imagine, Jesus wasn't exactly thrown by the situation. If you think about our mention of the last times he ate with the Pharisees, it wouldn't be too difficult to think that he could expect a setup next time he came. He wasn't exactly on their friends and family plan with Sprint. And if he was, he was only there for the discount. Verse 3 begins with something interesting about the way that Jesus responds to this man showing up. We don't see it very clearly in the English, but Jesus replies to the lawyers and to the Pharisees. But did you notice? No one said anything. And Jesus is replying to them. It's as if Jesus already knows what's in their heart and what they're thinking. He sees their unspoken words. So, Jesus, what are you going to do now? Tell us, Jesus. What's the right thing to do? Are you going to heal him? But Jesus turns the situation right back on them with a simple question. He turns to a room of religious leaders and lawyers and says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Really, this is a brilliant move. As I said, he's in a room full of lawyers and religious leaders. This should be a no-brainer. But they can't respond. Maybe they were stunned. Maybe they weren't expecting this switch. Maybe they didn't know what to say. Maybe they were waiting to see what he would do. And maybe it was a little of bond. After this brief yet tense moment, Jesus breaks the silence. He turns to the man and grabs him. It's a strong word there. He grabs him, perhaps in an embrace, and hugs him and heals him and sends him on his way. We've seen Jesus do this before, whether it's the blind man whose eyes Jesus touches, or the leper who Jesus reaches out and says, "I am willing, clean." He moves to show mercy in people's broken conditions. After doing this and sending him away, Jesus looks at the Pharisees and the lawyers and asks them a second question. "So who of you, if you have a son or an ox who falls into a well, will not immediately go and pull him out, even if it's the Sabbath?" In asking this, Jesus shows the Pharisees hypocrisy right in front of their faces. He does something else important too in this moment. He affirms the life of the man with dropsy and indirectly calls him a son. You see, Jesus' switch wasn't just a switch. It was also a shutdown. The Pharisees and lawyers wouldn't be able to answer his question about whether it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not. You see, if they had told Jesus that it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath, then Jesus was right. He's right. And there's no issue. But if they say, "No, it's not legal to heal on the Sabbath," then they show that they have just dragged a sick man who's looking desperately for hope in only to serve their own purposes to trap Jesus. They show their utter self-centeredness. The man wasn't there for healing. He was there instead to be bait. They were in real bind by Jesus' simple question, but it's not like they didn't end up answering. Let me clarify that. Have you ever heard the term that silence is consent? That was actually legally true in the ancient world. The Pharisees' silence was tacit approval of what Jesus does. It's quite amazing because despite dining with Jesus three times, watching all of his miracles, no matter whether they were on the Sabbath or whether they were on some other day of the week, the Pharisees have missed entirely who Jesus is and why he was there. They missed his heart and his mission to show mercy to us in our broken condition. They thought that Jesus was there to incite mutiny, when really he was there to bring mercy and to overthrow the effects of sin, to overthrow sin itself and all of its effects. So the question is, how can these verses speak into our lives during this Lenten season? If you read through the Gospel of Luke, it could be easy to overlook this story. I mentioned this is there are several stories that sound quite like it. It's six verses, it's quick, you could just gloss it over it very easily. But I think it has the power to speak into our lives in diverse ways. Because some of us are like the man with dropsy. The man with dropsy knew he was sick. He could feel the fluid filling up in his fingers and then his arms, in his toes, in his feet, his legs. Perhaps the man had even progressed far enough where he started to feel the fluid filling up around his heart. He knew he was sick. He knew he was in trouble, and he knew he needed help. That's how some of us are. We know that we're sick, and we know that we're in desperate need of help. We're acutely aware of our sin. We feel it pressing in on us in every way, and when we get to the time of confession on Sunday morning, we feel like even if there had been 2 hours of silence, we wouldn't have had enough time to confess, to get it off of our hearts. We're aware of our shortcomings every day, and perhaps we've even been outsiders our entire life. We even feel rejected at times by the church. These verses, though, speak it to us because they remind us that Jesus turns to us and grabs us and embraces us in mercy. His mission is not to bring the law to crush us. His mission in his heart is to show us mercy in the midst of our brokenness, knowing that we can't fulfill the law. And he doesn't care if it's the Sabbath. If one of his sons or daughters falls into a well and is in need of help, he is ready to pull them out. His mercy abounds for those of us who identify with man with dropsy in ways that are shocking and unexpected. But some of us are a bit more like the Pharisees. We like rules. In fact, we probably like rules too much, and at times we forget that God is God and not the law. We like things decent and in order. We like them the way that we've always done them, even to the point of forgetting about people. When we see the people that Jesus heals and brings in, we get concerned. We see the man with leprosy. We see the prostitute. We see the man with dropsy, and we say, who let them in here? Or maybe we say, if I just take the other aisle, I won't have to say anything. Or we'll have to talk to the elders about this. Instead of seeing people as they really are, as people in desperate need of mercy and grace, broken, just like we are. These verses remind us of who Jesus is and what his mission is, to show us mercy in the middle of our brokenness. And we're to imitate our Lord in this mission. After all, God moves towards our brokenness in mercy to heal us, not to crush us. The question is, do our actions imitate his? Does our heart represent his heart for people? You know, in a small way, this may be how a lot of us think of evangelism. We talked a lot in the mission study about wanting to share our faith more. And I wonder if at times we think of it a bit like the Pharisees. This is a rule to be followed. But Jesus reminds us that sharing our faith and sharing him is not a matter of, if you sign on, this is something you have to do. This is a heart issue of moving towards broken people, just like ourselves. There are some of us who see a little of the man with dropsy in us, but we also go, there's a little bit of the Pharisee in me too. So where does that leave us? The good news is that Jesus moved towards both the man with dropsy and he moved towards the Pharisees. Did you catch that in the first verse? Jesus accepted the invitation of the Pharisees. His heart was for them too. Jesus wasn't just being nice. He accepted the invitation in wanting to show them mercy in the midst of their brokenness as well. His mercy moved him to pursue them because they are just as broken as the man they bring in. So whether we have a little of the man with dropsy in us, or a little of the Pharisees in us, or a little of both, the message is the same. Jesus moves towards us in mercy in the middle of our broken condition. May God bless this message to us as we look forward to and prepare ourselves for the cross and for the resurrection. Amen.